The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 333. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Hanukkah.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, people?
And Brian Manjoma.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, we got everybody in the house tonight, people. Full deck. And you know it's going to get crazy because this week was kind of nutty. I'm like, yo, where's all this news coming from? You know? I was compiling shit today. I'm like, yo. And half of the news we're going to talk about came from one source. The fucking Epic versus Apple battle. Like, all the spots got blown, you know? I don't even think we have to, like, do any preamble. I think we just get right into it because shit is crazy right now, man. So, yeah, let's get into it, man. Oh, no, why is the Chiron in the wrong place? There we go. Got to hit Carlos up. I got you, Carlos, man. I got you. You know, you're not going to do this for a video for this one anyway, you know?
Yeah, main topics, you know, they're main topics.
Yeah, you already know, man. All right, so we got to talk about Apple and Epic trial, which I believe started this week or, you know, sometime early or late last week.
Started this week.
And a lot of things came to light outside of the main deal, right? So we're going to go through some of them. And if I miss any, you know, you guys in the chat will let me know. You guys in here will let me know. Because a lot of things came out, right? But one of them was the reason why PlayStation was against crossplay. If you guys remember that whole debacle from a couple of years ago when, you know, it was over Fortnite and people were wondering why the hell isn't Sony doing crossplay? And at the time, Sony said that it was because they were trying to protect their customers or some shit like that. And
the same reason why Nintendo says that they don't like voice chat.
Yeah.
Protecting our customers and our players.
So it turns out that, you know, that was part of it, but it was really about money. they wanted a cut, you know, and it also turns out that PlayStation is like the only one that Epic has to pay for crossplay, which is very interesting, you know. So, Chris, I'm going to have you jump in here and give us the business side of all this because that seems, at the one time, it seems kind of weird, but also at the same time, it also makes sense, you know.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me now why, Epic accidentally turned on crossplay back then?
Yeah, that's right.
That Fortnite was working, and then they quickly turned it off, and Sony had come out with a statement just after that. I think Epic was trying to pressure them back then. Now with this disclosure, and I love it because in legal proceedings, you can't lie about this shit. Yep. They can't spin this. It's just out in the open. They were trying to pressure them to enable crossplay so that that Sony would be forced to do it, and then they wouldn't have to have their crazy fees. Like Sony wanted them to get paid if you had a Sony Fortnite account, but you did a microtransaction on another system, which is like fucking crazy to me.
Wow,
it's like who cares? Like if you're playing on multiple systems, right? You have the same account. And then they still want a cut of the money, even though you'd bought something through a different store. Like if you bought it on PC or bought it on Apple or whatever, they wanted a cut. And it's like, what? This fucking doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It the business argument that Sony made was just stupid. They just wanted to keep things exclusive so they could get their cut of microtransactions. That's why they did it. When they said it wasn't good for the PlayStation business, right? That just means that they don't want people spending their money outside of the ecosystem. That's what that means. And When they say it's not good for their customers, that's obviously a load of garbage.
It's not good for them, you know.
That's it's not good for them. Yeah, yeah. They tried to hide behind us. We want to keep our customers safe or whatever. Bitch, you don't have a platform that's safer than Microsoft's or anyone else's. So let's be real about that. You got hacked like everyone else. So, you know, relax, you know, chill out on that. That's why I don't, you know, I had pulled my credit card from PSN when that whole Lizard Squad thing happened. The fucking PlayStation was down all through Christmas. So I forgot, was Christmas 2018 or 2017?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
the whole thing was down. So it's like, spare me the, oh, our customers are, or we felt they were unsafe. That's a load of garbage. It's that it's always they're looking out for residual income, and they knew how big Fortnite was and how big it was projected to be. I mean, I'm sure Epic made that presentation to everybody, to Microsoft, to Nintendo, to Apple and Google and everyone. They knew, and they didn't want it on there because they didn't want their customers playing on other platforms and possibly losing their playtime on PlayStation from people moving to another platform, going, hey, you know, I might as well play other stuff on here, and I'll spend my money on, you know, on Steam or whatever instead of here. They didn't want that. Yeah. So that's all that means.
Yeah, and one of the, I'm reading, you know, the documents, and again, this is all out in the public now, that basically what happened is, like, Epic wasn't really able to get its way because Fortnite became the biggest game on PlayStation, so PlayStation kind of had the say, you know, in what would happen. But apparently, Epic was also trying to spin things on their end to make it so Sony didn't look like the bad guy, which is really crazy.
Well, it's because that's their biggest thing. If they're throwing out, if they're slinging trash at these guys who have the biggest platform,
yeah, exactly. Like, if they're big, the people who are playing Fortnite the most are on PlayStation, they don't want to throw shit at those guys, you know? So it kind of makes sense. It's just really fascinating stuff to see all this stuff that, you know, because we're not supposed to be seeing any of this stuff, obviously, you know? As customers or even journalists, this is not really for our eyes. So it's kind of fascinating just to see all this come out in the open, you know? Mm-hmm. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say?
I mean, who the hell is surprised at this? No. I mean, Sony's been touting the whole high horse thing, like, oh, you know, well, no pun intended. We're looking out for our customers. That's why I always say they're always full of shit. Whenever a company tries to put on looking like the nice guy, they don't care about you or anybody. All they care about is the bottom dollar, man. And that's you know, that's what they're trying to make bank out of that crossplay. While everyone was playing, you know, the same rules, Sony was like, hey, how the hell can we squeeze every last penny off of this? We know that we have some leverage because our platform is the one that, you know, most people play, one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game right now in the world. And no one's surprised. I mean, if you're surprised, then you're deep in the Kool-Aid, man.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid, man.
All right, what about the rest of you guys? What do you say? No thoughts?
I
mean,
I think the same thing as Carlos. It's just that, you know, you really shouldn't be putting stock in a company in general. Yeah, they do the things that you want, right? You know, they make games and you enjoy those games, but that doesn't mean that they ain't looking for some money, you know? This goes for any of the other companies. Well, granted, in this situation, Microsoft and Nintendo aren't the ones that aren't charging an additional fee on top of you know what, getting their half, right? But if the situation was reversed in any other way, you know that they'd be trying to do the same goddamn thing.
Of course, yeah. You know, like, you know, but it is just funny. It's like, a company's being greedy? It's like, yeah, that's kind of what they do.
That's kind of what they do.
You
know? I mean, I believe, here's the thing. I believe that, yes, there are definitely good people that work at companies, right? But they're also just the assholes that are just sort of looking for, you know, looking to get some bank, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the good people working at the company are usually not at the executive level.
Yeah, no, they're usually.
Yeah, they're usually just, yeah, the grunt, like, you know, they're probably some of the forward facing management, you know. But all the big
Jenny over in animation.
Was that
Jenny in animation? You know,
Jenny, you know,
Make some biscuits, and I can do this.
All the nice folks are all somewhere else. But then, you hear that?
Yeah, I gotta read our quote from our boy Gio Corsi. We love Gio. I'll throw it down. So this is what he has to say. And I'm reading this from The Verge. Gio Corsi, Sony's senior director of developer relations at the time, dismissed the idea of crossplay, noting that crossplay, this is what he says, and I quote, cross-platform play is not a slam dunk no matter the size of the title. As you know, many companies are exploring this idea, and not a single one can explain how cross-console play improves the PlayStation business.
And he says it right there, business.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time, it was like, what do we get out of this? You know?
Oh yeah, but this is exactly what I said before, right? When I say that they say it's not good for business. I mean, Corsi. I mean, I like the guy, but that's a short-sighted perspective, right? He doesn't see that. Hey, if you really believe in your ecosystem that you are stronger than the other guy, you would have no problem having crossplay there and having people experience the game in other places or whatever, that you are the stronger platform to play on, right? So that tells me you're not confident in your platform versus another one.
Brett, what were you going to say?
I kind of want to mark the moment where we mentioned that he said that for all of the people who are going to inevitably yell about Bethesda when it becomes exclusive. I'm going to carry this to my grave.
Okay.
Wait, what happened?
I don't understand this.
I'm insisting that Bethesda is going to be exclusive, and the main issue that everybody brings up is like, well, you know, it's just a bad business model if they're not exclusive. Like, I just want to point out here that we have definitively, like, agreed it's not good for business. I just want to point that out.
That's a good point. That's right. You know, and then there's this other document from 2019 where Sony actually details how much money they've earned off of cross-platform revenue. Kind of interesting. Chris, have you seen that one? If you click on the, because I have the Epic article there, but if you click on this other, there's a link in there from The Verge. It's literally the first link in the first paragraph. Click on that, scroll down, and then this is after Gio Corsi's statement, and Sony shows how much money they've earned off of cross-platform play. It says $52,500 for 1 month.
I see it month two. Yeah.
I mean, you know the numbers better than me, so you know you could tell us. Well, I'll take a sip of my wines.
You mean you drinking wine?
Yeah, man. I told this story right before. It was like I got like six bottles of wine and shit for $40.
Well, look, I mean, you know, look at that. I mean, versus the first month when they weren't doing it, where it's $0, that's a net gain.
Yeah. So basically, the article is trying to prove is like, yeah, Sony's stance was not correct because the next year when they did have crossplay, they actually did make money.
Yeah, it's a net gain. Any positive gain? I mean, okay, it's $52,000. It's not like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it's better than zero.
Literally zero. Literally zero. You know. Yeah. So you know, the article's just showing that's like, no, cross-platform play actually does make you money. But Sony wasn't thinking about or seeing that, I guess. They didn't have the forethought to see that.
Yeah, and I don't blame Gio either. He, you know, at that point, he has to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is, if that's the company line, what is he going to say?
But at the same time, you know, and just being honest here, even at the time I was saying, I'm like, what does Sony get out of this? I didn't think about it either, you know?
Crossplay games?
Yeah. Even I didn't know at the time. Now I understand what they get out of it, but at the time I was like, what the fuck did they get out of this?
I'm pretty sure I did something or argued with somebody about this. I may
it was
not
probably me you, and you. Maybe it wasn't.
Yeah. We all said it was best for business. It made sense.
Yeah.
It was a contested one.
It was we didn't all agree. We got into a heated battle over that. I know I was on the side. I'm like, how does Sony benefit from this shit?
I remember you and Manny. You don't like the crossplay.
Yeah, Manny and I were the guys. Were like, what's the point of all this? You know. So yeah, that did happen.
The healthier you make the ecosystem, the more titles it's going to sell.
Yeah. I mean, I see it now, but in the time, I'm like, what?
I get it. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. I'm not. Yeah. This is one of those like, oh, I fucking told you. It's just to support, like yeah, the healthier you keep a game's environment, the longer it's going to sell. It's not even necessarily the initial sales. It's how long you view the game as viable and healthy. Really affects whether some people want to play it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, you got to understand, a game with like Fortnite, that game's fucking everywhere. It's on phone, it's on Switches, it's on Xboxes, you know, it's on everything. So you don't go through the scenarios where back in the day, like for example, the 360 days, it's like, okay, I want to play Call of Duty, and do I get it on Xbox or PlayStation or PC? It's like, where do your friends play? You know, that's the platform you got. And if you got the different platform and you already paid for it on Christmas, you're fucked. So, you know, in this scenario, it's like, yeah, I do have a PlayStation and my friends do play Fortnite on the Xbox, but, you know, I can still play with them. So it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't detest people from getting another console. If your console is the dominant one in terms of this, of the share of the people that are playing this, then you're still ahead.
So does Fortnite have like a friend system that carries over? Is that how everybody's able to find each other when they jump on from platform to platform?
Well, I know they have an account. I don't know how.
Yeah, I know the account because I've heard about like their level system. But the whole thing I'm wondering, it's about friends. That's why I think it really matters.
Right? I guess you must be able to tie in your Xbox Live and whatever, and it knows your friends, so it matches them with their Epic accounts. That's the only way I could imagine it would work, right? Because everybody has different friends lists.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't play Fortnite, so I don't know.
Yeah, I need to. I don't know.
I'm not 8 years old.
Just make it a guess.
You probably have to ask one of your nephews about that one.
Well, no, just the one, because the older nephew, he's like, fuck Fortnite, you know? He's all about Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
You mean like 93 or something?
Yeah. It's funny. It's like he's all about Mortal Kombat, over 20-year-old franchise.
No, what are you talking about? Yeah, well, you know, he is old. He's fucking 20 now, you know?
No, but I'm saying like it's over 20-year, like a 30-year franchise.
Yeah, well, think about it. He plays all the new ones, you know? Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat did have a new game recently. All right, we'll move on, but we're still on Epic and Apple because, again, a lot of things came out. Okay. So also back during this time, during the whole Fortnite fiasco and crossplay and all that, one of the things that, you know, I specifically asked on this show, and I think Manny was too, is like, why isn't anyone talking about the fact that you have to pay to play free to play games on Xbox? No one was talking about that at the point, right? Turns out Microsoft, one of the reasons Microsoft went ahead and removed that paywall is because of Epic pressuring them. Because it was even happening back then, but Microsoft wasn't relenting. So that's also interesting too, you know? Epic kind of, not strong army, but really Microsoft. What the fuck, man? Why is this shit? Why people, you know, because again, Fortnite was the biggest game. And I don't know if it's still the biggest game. It may still be. So I guess they had that kind of push for Microsoft. And Microsoft also had the smallest platform, you know, at least compared to PlayStation. So I guess that's why they felt confident going, yo, what the fuck, you know? Now, let me see if there's any quotes here that I could read. Again, all these emails came out. It's so much shit, you know?
Did you get them, Adam?
Yeah. Oh, check this out. No, Adam didn't get them. This is from Tim Sweeney. I don't know how relevant this will be, though. This is from Tim Sweeney to Phil Spencer. Long ago, we talked optimistically about the possibility of subscription-free multiplayer on Xbox. PlayStation requires subscriptions for multiplayer but exempts free-to-play games. If this is coming, please consider the possibility of timing a program to support Fortnite Season 14 launch. Yo! My man! 14. Yeah, this launch will follow the confidential Fortnite Mega Drop 20% price. Oh, he's just listing the shit that's beneficial. Epic has certain plans for August that will provide an extraordinary opportunity to highlight the value proposition of consoles and PCs in contrast to mobile platforms and to onboard new console gamers. While I can't share details with any third party at this point, I give you Epic's assurance that our efforts will be positive and supportive of Microsoft, Xbox, and Windows. I realize this is incomplete information, and you have a big ship that's slow to turn. Interesting. So the specific ask is, please keep in mind that this possibility for August 27th, and expect events throughout August to draw. All right, blah blah blah. Chris, you're ready to say something.
Yeah, no, I love it in there because you read in the stuff. That's a giant middle finger to Apple right there. the proposition, the value proposition of consoles and PCs in contrast to mobile platforms. Basically, like, hey, we don't really want to deal with this shit. We really want to deal with you guys. And if you throw us a bone here, it'll be a win for both of us, right? Just basically, you know, I mean, this at this point, they're trying to get around the iOS restrictions, right? The Apple store restrictions, and the 30%. They didn't want to pay them. They didn't want to pay Apple. That's what this lawsuit's all about. So that's fantastic that he was backroom dealing with Phil Spencer to time free multiplayer with the release of the season at the same time trying to cut Apple out of the profit sharing, right? And then they probably kicked something to Microsoft if they had done it at the same time.
That's right.
That's hilarious, you know?
That's wild shit.
A giant middle finger to Apple, you know? And they deserve it.
Yeah, fuck Apple.
Here's an interesting question, though, about a lot of this.
By the way, the subject was Apple, too. So, yeah, there you go.
What the one thing about this is, like, you know, you're talking about the 30% charge over. Now, what was the amount of money that Epic was sending over to Sony?
Oh, do we know that? How much money?
What percentage was that? Because obviously they were paying a little bit of extra on top for crossplay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Sony was charging a percentage, but I don't know what for microtransactions. But I don't know what that percentage was. It wasn't in the article. Apple charges everyone across the board, a 30% fee per purchase of an app and any other item off of the Apple Store, right? So
even the free shit?
If it's zero, right, you know, you can't get a percentage off that. If it's free, it's free. But even if you have in-app purchases, I think Apple takes a cut of those.
Yeah, they do. Yes.
That's the biggest right.
Yeah.
So like every time you buy a suit or a stupid character from Fortnite or a stupid dance, you get a cut. they get a cut from that, and they get a pretty significant 30% is not a little bit, man.
That's a lot.
That's a huge amount. That's why
they're almost a third, bro. It's like, bro, shit.
Yeah,
3.33%
more.
33% is go ahead.
It's that this is their mall. You know,
yeah.
It's like, hey, we own this, so we can charge whatever, and that's the going rate across their platforms, which it was for a while.
And they're Apple is essentially the landlord. You know, they're the ones that have you know the buildings. They own the buildings, and Apple, you know, just bought a store within there. And I mean, it doesn't even work like that. Like, you know, if the Apple store is within a mall, they obviously pay for, you know, the property and they rent it and stuff, but they don't give a cut off of every iPhone they sell to the landlord.
Imagine that. It's like, yeah, we're paying rent and a cut from every item sold. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous if you think about it that way.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting stuff. All right, the other thing. All right, one more thing because I got to set up the Chiron here. Anything else you guys want to say about the whole Microsoft thing and Epic? It's kind of interesting how Epic was like coming at Microsoft in a little bit different way than Sony.
They have a different business deal that goes all the way back to freaking Gears of War, because almost all those people left that were at Epic Games, and then when it got sold to another group, because that's also when Cliffy left, and that other group was like, oh, we're just going to focus on the engine and doing some other stuff. It really surprises me that they even went this route to make a game.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, and that was one thing when Cliffy B, when they were asking, oh, why didn't you stick around for Fortnite? They weren't even talking about making games anymore. It was all about their engine, and that was it. And so he was like, I don't need this shit. I'm making my money. And he left.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason why they were open to selling Gears, the IP, to Microsoft. They're like, yeah, take this shit.
Interesting. All right, moving on. This is yet another thing that was revealed during the Apple trial.
Secret reveal.
So apparently Walmart was or is working on their own cloud gaming service. Walmart. The place with the big fat hicks. They're working on their own streaming service. You know, so my thing is, like, there's already enough of these out there. What, like, what is Walmart going to bring to the table? You know, like, I'm looking at this email here, and it says, like, they're going to try to combine indie games and AAAs and shit, third parties. And they're showing documents of how they would stream to, like, mobile, TVs, you know, computers, all this other shit. But
and
I don't
obviously
know.
They want to talk to Epic about this.
Yeah, they were thinking about charging $2 for this thing. Wow.
Oh, you mean Walmart prices?
Yeah, Walmart. Yeah, pretty much. Like, you're going to get your video games in bulk, too, you know?
Hey, you got the Humble Bundle, right? The Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what the hell they would even try to sell. Like, is it just, would they just get, like, known IPs that's, like, that, you know, third-party IPs that they could pay to
That's what it looks service? Like here, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't, oh, man, that seems like a really dumb idea for them. You know, you like a company like maybe Epic could probably do it, you know, because they have their Epic store and
yeah.
they have games and stuff and they have, you know, they have a track record. Walmart, they just have a track record of selling other people's stuff.
They have their own brand of computers.
Walmart computers?
There was a company that they bought, yeah, because they do that with TVs and stuff.
I know they don't.
On TV, ON, and... They bought that brand.
Man. It's the Amazon approach. They just pay for other companies' products and they just put in their logos
on it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So then they can just slap some games on it.
Yo, off topic but still on topic. I had a split second of an old man moment right now because they're showing all the platforms you could stream to, right? And one of them was a watch. And for a second, I'm like, watches? Streaming? And it's like, Tony, they have smartwatches, bro. Completely forgot. By the way, I don't understand the point of a smartwatch if you have a phone, but you know.
I mean it's because it involves you not having to go
pull out your pocket every single second. You know what? Yeah. That actually makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah, like especially with how dumb and huge phones have somehow managed to become now.
Remember, right? Just totally off topic. Remember when phones were getting smaller and smaller? There's a joke like, how long small can they go? Now they're getting bigger and bigger. You know. Yeah. But yeah, again, I know total non sequitur, but I was like, watch? Like, how you stream to watch? Smartphones, smartwatches, bro. But yeah, again, okay, so let's break this down. So we currently, and we're going to talk about this one later. We got Stadia, right? Got Project X Cloud, got GeForce Now, we got Amazon Luna, we got Shadow, right? That's five, not to mention PlayStation Now, that's six. What the hell do we need this thing for? The Walmart joint, you know?
What they're doing is they're essentially making a general audience market, whereas it's like people who go to Walmarts are not, you know, it's the general public sort of thing. So what you do is you present it in a specific way, and then I think that's what they're sort of like going for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so did you look at this diagram?
Yeah, I'm looking at the diagram. That's what weirded me out. I'm like, wait, what's that watch doing there? But yeah, so some of the companies they have listed here, I guess proposed companies, because we don't even know if this thing's going to happen. Uplay, Origin, Steam, Epic, Bethesda. I can't read that other title. But yeah, Chris, go ahead about the diagram.
Oh, Battle.net. Yeah.
Battle.net.
So they would support all these third-party launches. So if you bought titles from any of these launchers, you could play them off of Walmart's cloud.
Oh,
yeah. So you're basically all you have to do is pay.
It's like Walmart's
GeForce.
GeForce now.
Exactly.
Under one.
Yep. So you pay the small fee for Walmart's cloud, and they would work with indie guys and give them developer tools to develop games for them exclusively. But anything else, anything AAA, if you already owned it, you could play it off their cloud. No extra charge, and you owned it, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they're offering. It's not like Stadia where you have to pay their bullshit, buy the bullshit from them, and you don't really own it.
See, that's at least cool. It's like you use your own games, you know? Yeah, but again, we have GeForce now. We already have it.
Yeah, they were doing this. It's basically their version of that.
Yeah, it just seems to me the only edge they would have is their price, $2 a month, I guess.
That and the partnership, because remember, GeForce now had a lot of the big publishers and so forth, and then they all started bouncing on them. You know, that's when I stopped. Like, all my games, Doom and everything, just dropped off. Capcom removed all their shit. So,
yo, and Walmart, it was crazy, Adam, because it was like a week or days before launch, You know?
Yeah, yeah. Everything just started dropping. It was very random, and it probably came down to money. They probably wanted money to have that shit on there.
Yeah.
But whatever. But that's the thing. What you just read off with all the companies that Walmart's working with, that would be a big deciding factor there.
Yeah. Or proposed companies that we don't know. We don't even know.
Yeah, proposed, right? And then it's like, then those companies are like, you did not propose this
to us. Yeah, you know.
Don't just name drop, you know, because I'm sure they would want a little something extra for doing it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that would be cool. You know, that'd be the ICQ for a video game. Remember ICQ?
It was ICQ bringing it back. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. Go ahead, Carlos.
I just don't... You know, if Game Pass, you know, becomes as, you know, part of the zeitgeist as I think a lot of us think it would, then these types of services are dead, you know, as soon as they start. Because they don't really make sense. You know, you have to buy the games, you have to, it's on their cloud, and it's like, it's a lot more complicated than what other streaming services are trying to do, which are kind of more streamlined. I mean, even Stadia is a little bit more streamlined. It's stupid that you have to pay for everything, you know, like even if you own the game. So I don't know, man. I'll just wait for the Dollar General streaming service.
There you go.
Dollar General.
Oh, man. All right. Let us move on. Now we're finally done with the Epic trial. But again, there's a lot more we didn't cover. It was a lot of shit that just came to light. All right, next thing, there's a follow-up. So about like a month ago, probably less than a month ago, we talked about how, you know, Microsoft was looking to acquire Discord. And we made some jokes like, oh, shit, Throwdown's done, you know, because we use Discord. But obviously, Discord did not decide to go with Microsoft. Turns out they're partnering, not being bought, they're partnering with PlayStation. So next year is not happening this year. Next year. They're going to integrate Discord with PlayStation Network. We don't know how. They didn't really detail that, but I think it's cool, you know, because we use Discord all the time, obviously, so to have it on PlayStation Network.
I'm wondering what cool. The integration is.
Oh, it's got to be big, or else they would just port an app. The key word is that integration, so I'm assuming it's going to be part of the menu system. You know, when we go to do a chat, it will probably have an option of just like Discord and probably see a whole new interface.
So this time, in order to chat, you're going to have to press the PlayStation button. You're going to have to go all the way down, scroll all the way to the right to the Discord icon, go all the way down to your server, go all the way to the DMs. Yo, man, they need to fix
that. I can't find you. Put the pound sign. The pound sign and the numbers. What do you mean the pound sign? I put your name in there. You got to put the pound sign.
It's the hashtag, sir.
Yeah, see, I'm old.
Ooh. Yeah, that's it. Pound sign. It's a hashtag, man. Get with it.
It's the prison bars, you mean, right? Yeah.
Prison bars. I mean, I think this is pretty big news. I mean, it's not as big as if they were to buy them straight out. I don't know if they could even afford
that. I don't know about that.
I don't think they did. They did get a minority share on Discord, so they get that partnership. I mean, the PS chat, I'm not a big fan of, anyways. Yeah. So integrating it with Discord, having it seamless between Discord, you know, maybe you guys are playing a game or something and I'm on my PC and stuff. I think it'll be much easier.
You could probably see it. You could probably see the gameplay. It'll almost be like a
version of Twitch.
That's what I was assuming. And it's going to be like its own version of Twitch, but just for the PlayStation Network.
Think about it. When we do the podcast, Chris can be playing his game and we can see it and hear it.
Yeah.
There we go. And criticize him. That's how it works, right? We can shame them.
No, that's it. So that's what's going to happen next year. We're going to do Throwdown specifically through PlayStation Network, through Discord, you know?
Yeah, and really be the pony show.
Exactly. You fucking ponies, man, doing our PlayStation 5, you know? Maybe with the new PlayStation 5 model, but we'll talk about that later, you know? But there's not really much to say about the Discord thing because it hasn't happened yet. They're very frugal with details, so... Who knows? But I think it's good. I think it's a good thing. So stay tuned for more details as they show up. All right. Moving on. Another Sony thing. So this was making the rounds today. I saw a lot of very angry people.
Mm-hmm.
So Sony is being sued for restricting its digital game sales to PlayStation Store. The first thing I thought when I read this, I'm like, what kind of shyster lawyer came up with this shit? Literally the first thing I thought, you know, because it's like, go ahead, man, go ahead.
That is literally the stupidest reason to sue. Think about it. Like every single platform is like that, where it's like if you're digital, you buy your digital games off of whatever digital store that you're working toward, right? I mean, it's like you'd have to sue every single company for that, Nintendo and Microsoft, right?
Yeah, yeah, because they're saying that it's like, it's a monopoly.
It's not a monopoly, to be honest. Like, if you can't, the thing about it is that you can buy those games at other stores. You just have to buy the physical edition of those versions. And in fact, some stores are actually offering digital copies of games where you can literally buy like the card.
Yeah.
You know, with the code on it.
Yeah, it just doesn't make much sense. Like, what type of stupid company would sue another company because they have a digital platform where that's the only place that you can get stuff, you know? It's like being a brain-dead company that sues Apple for the same reasons.
Oh, wait. Maybe we're not looking in the right direction. Are you sure it's not? No, because I remember Nintendo had pulled all their games from Amazon. Right, like the digital stuff, you couldn't buy digital, and then something happened and they put it all back. So now you can look up a game and you can get the physical or you can get the digital
for Nintendo, right? You can get
for Nintendo, yeah. And remember, you used to be able to do that for PlayStation,
you used to, yeah. So well, that's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that since you can't buy the games off of Amazon, it's a monopoly.
I think not even just Amazon, but still, I agree with it because think about it. If let's say you want to buy, like when we were trying to do the gifts for people for games, and you can't do it, you got to do a set amount of money. Why can't you just get a code? It's still going into their pockets. It's still a game that they have to get through the PSN store. The code just unlocks it, but just sell that game code on other outlets, not just Amazon, but anywhere. Because I remember you should be able to, also on GameStop, you should be able to do that. I remember getting games and sending it stuff, and now you can't do that. Now it's all through there. So, yeah, I guess in that way, I see that kind of sucks. Open it up for us. It's good for people. I don't care about the business side, but I think that would be beneficial whenever you do these giveaways. Instead of just giving a set amount of, now wondering, $70 game, whatever, we could actually just go and get the code and, like, here's your game code. There you go.
Well, that's what we used to do, you know?
That's what I'm saying. They stopped doing it.
Yeah, but again, I don't think this is illegal, what they're doing, you know?
No, it's not. It's not illegal.
Yeah. It's Brett, you have something to say about it? Because you brought this to my attention earlier today.
I think it's most simultaneously ridiculous and kind of a good point. Like, they clearly did. Like, here's my beef. Sony has kind of cornered the market, and there have been times where they've clearly exploited that, where, you know, a game is still $60, but on their digital platform, it's still $60 on their digital platform, and you can go out and buy it for like $15 used. So I agree with the idea that, you know, hey, you guys using this kind of power to exclude other wholesalers and price hike the market is not cool. But also, yeah, welcome to fucking video games. So, you know, the question then kind of becomes, you know, where do you draw the line? And in their instance, I kind of think like, yeah, Sony's insistence to not sell codes to Amazon is kind of bullshit. Because they're just trying to funnel all the business. Like, we all know what they're doing, and we all know it's mildly nefarious, and we all know it's kind of not legal. So it's just a weird place to be. It's a nuanced situation. I can't say I'm particularly one way or the other about it. I kind of have mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think it's stupid, but it does bring up a good point, of which I think we've kind of all at least talked about once. And, you know, obviously it's not the biggest deal to me, otherwise I would have gotten a full digital system. But I'd like to see competition still thrive even after we've gone full digital. And it doesn't seem like we're going that way right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they're going to pull that off. I guess like one platform would have like cheaper digital games than the other one. I don't know.
Well, we just had that with Nintendo. And that's the other reason why I brought it up. Because they have these sales of the physical and the digital for a lot of these first-party games for like $30, $40. But if you were to go into the Nintendo eShop, it's still full price. So it's like, oh, if you're going to get these games, it's on sale on Amazon, and you can actually get the digital code, and it's a legit code that'll link you to the eShop, and it's on sale. You save some money. And I guess that's what Sony wants to avoid. You know, they don't want that type of shit. That if a store has a surplus of X amount of, I don't know, fucking Zelda Breath of the Wilds at this day and age where everyone fucking has it already. I'm like, all right, we're going to put that shit on sale this weekend. You know, they don't want to hear that.
Yeah, Nintendo ain't doing that shit. You know, Nintendo's not doing that. But I think this lawsuit's going to get dismissed, to be honest. I don't think there has any weight to it, you know. So that's that. Yeah, go ahead,
Brian. But at the same time, like, this is a very similar reason to why Epic have sued Apple in the first place, is that they sued on a similar precedent. So hence, if the Apple Epic thing goes through and it's a victory for Apple somehow, then it sets like the precedent's like, hey, like, if you're another company and you feel like another company has a monopoly on their platform, then you have the right to sue. So hence, I'm thinking this won't go away until the Apple Epic thing is sorted out.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess we'll have to see, you know. All right, any last thoughts on this? That's a no, so we'll move on to the next thing here. Again, a lot of stuff happened this week, man. Still on the Sony pony train. So Sony registers a trademark for Sunset Overdrive.
Oh shit!
It's coming, it's coming. Remember, they own Insomniac, so this actually makes a lot of sense. So you know, again, all we know is just a trademark. But what I think may happen is not only will we get a sequel potentially, but probably the first game on PlayStation 5. You know, like a remake.
With the Mass Effect thing, wasn't that Sony couldn't get the first one?
Sony did get the first one eventually.
They did?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, they did. And this is the same type of deal. You know?
And they're about to get it again next week.
You know? So, yeah, what do you guys think about the possibility of Sunset Overdrive 1 on PlayStation 5 and even a sequel? Cause I thought the first game was great. As a matter of fact, it's actually running on the same engine as Spider-Man, you know? So yeah, I'd be down for that. You know, the game was a lot of fun. A lot of really good music in there. Very colorful graphics. Fun gameplay. What happened?
A lot of sliding.
Yeah, a lot of sliding. You know, a lot of sliding. What do you think of Sunset Overdrive, Carlos?
I mean, I played a little bit of it. I didn't really get too deep into that game. It was fine. It was, you know, I think with Insomniac, I don't think they can do any wrong.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the titles have just been hits. I mean, this game didn't really sell as well as I think they probably would have expected, but critically, it was received really well. Yeah. So as much as you know, we keep talking about these sort of treasure chests of games that, you know, these companies have, like Xbox has the whole Bethesda war chest, and they're all studios and stuff, and Halo and Gears and Forza. And Sony, you know, if they don't want to become, you know, the whole Spider-Man, God of War, Uncharted factory, you know, they need these titles, like, you know, the Sunset Overdrives, you know, all of these IPs that they can, you know, lean back on and release them. And I think that kind of game might even be received better
on PlayStation fans. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of core. Not only is it an Insomniac game, but I think a lot of the Infamous crowd would like this type of game I think there's a lot of similarities. I'm for it. And I would, you know, if there's a sequel, I'll probably try it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason I like it. I'm like, hey, it's kind of like Infamous a little bit, you know? And, you know, it's like you said, Insomniac, man, they kind of can't do any wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I can tell you a game that was really bad that they made.
Uh-oh.
See, the thing is, you guys are all going to say, like, oh, shit, what's Brian going to say? Like, he's going to say, like, Spider-Man or something stupid.
He's going to say Resistance.
You're going to say Resistance? No.
Man, he knows. Fuse.
I know.
Oh, Fuse.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone forgets about that game. Yeah. Like,
there's a reason people forget about that.
Is that the Xbox game?
No, it was on every platform.
It was a multi-platform thing. But it got sabotaged by EA. That's what happened.
Brian, I'm glad you bring it up. Fuse, the game everybody forgets, you know? Go ahead.
What's the name of the Xbox game? Not Sunset, but the one that came out I think it was maybe during the 360 era, like late 360 era.
Link?
No, that wasn't Resistance?
No, no. Resistance was a PlayStation 3 game. All three of them.
Wait. Insomniac game that only came out on Xbox?
Well, maybe it was multi-platform.
It Fuse.
That was okay. That was in the late 360 PS3 era, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so 2013. That's
yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
And that's no, Brian's right. Brian's 100% right. By the way, quick story about that. So this was like the second EA event I ever went to, right? And that was the highlight game, right? So I go. This is funny. So I go into the room and shit, and all the other PR people were busy with the other journalists, showing them the game and stuff. So the guy who showed me the ropes was none other than Price, the Insomniac guy, Ted Price. Right? Yeah. Ted Price. So that was really cool. And then I remember this is also like an eye opening experience for me, right? So I'm in there like, okay, we're gonna have all four of you guys. It was eight of us, I believe. Four versus four. Like, all right, we're going to have all you guys fight against each other, just try the game out. And remember, I'm still fresh in the industry. I'm just 6 months in, right? And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, I'm against gaming journalists. I'm going to get fucking smoked. Because in my head, I was like, gaming journalists have to be elite pro-level gamers, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in there. 2 minutes in, I'm like, why am I smoking these dudes? I'm killing the whole other team and shit. The other journals about women, like, how do you press? How do you shoot? How do you jump? I'm like, what is going on here, bro? So that was a very eye-opening experience. And I'm like, these motherfuckers can't play games, And also, I remember fucking the instant I leave the room, right? Because it was like a hotel. It was a whole floor dedicated to a bunch of EA games, right? Instant I leave the room. Like the second I leave, I hear, "Hey, yo, Tom!" Hip hop gamer, man. I got a bunch of stories just from that one day. I'll give this quick one that I'll let you guys. Actually, I think we're kind of done with the Sunset Overdrive thing. But so I was talking to a couple of people from DualShockers. I was still like, shit, DualShockers, this is crazy. Little did I know, a year from that time, I would be at DualShockers. And I was talking to a guy who was one of their new writers, and he had only been writing there for a year, right? So he's talking to me and shit, and I'm telling him like, "Hey, yeah, you're doing good, man. Keep doing your thing, keep practicing. You're gonna make it in this industry." And it wasn't until later on that I'm like, "Yo, Tony, you've been in this fucking industry for 6 months. You're telling a guy who's been there a year what to do, Because I went in there, people thought I've been in this industry forever. I went to the main room. I'm fucking talking. I had everybody's attention and shit, And I'm literally the new guy, but everybody's looking at me like I'm the fucking boss, It's all about how you present yourself, man.
You do talk like you're like an older guy talking to kids sometimes. You feel like you're like the responsible one in the room.
I gotta impart my knowledge to the kids, So that was a fun thing. Also, that's the first time I saw Steven Totillo. I'm like, damn, you look bored, bro. What's going on here?
What did Torrance call him? Steven Tortilla?
Tortillo, yeah, Sunset Overdrive, bring that shit. Let's go, man. All right. Moving on.
No, man, bring back Resistance, man. Fuck.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you like Resistance, man?
I don't think I played it.
So never ran to it. Very interesting.
It's like early PS3 days, and I didn't get a PS3 until God of War, because I thought that's the only worthwhile PS3 game. Get a PS3 for.
It's about a pissed off plumber who's related to Mario, but from a different part of town, and he didn't get those cool deals, and he just fucking rages on everybody with his wrench. It's kind of crazy.
Bad. All right, moving on. Last PlayStation story of the night. So, big surprise here. Although the timing is a little surprising, but the story is not surprising. Sony's already working on a revised model of the PlayStation 5.
But that's not by choice. That's by necessity.
I think they have to. Wait.
They can't get all the parts they need.
Okay, go ahead.
Is this the model revision for the bypassing of the semiconductors that I talked about last week and everybody said it was crazy?
Yeah, bypassing a lot of shit. Yeah, they're bypassing a lot of shit.
I'll read this article. This is from a PC Mag, my you know, where I write for Matthew Humphreys, one of my former editors. Love that dude, great guy. He goes, there's not much detail on what we can expect beyond a new version of the AMD Zen 2 processor manufactured using 6nm process. The chip used in all PS5s. Consoles today is 7nm parts, so the move to 6nm should bring with it a small performance gain / power saving. It's also thought to include some further customization, although it will still have to remain fully compatible with the existing chip. So that's what we know. That's all we know at the moment.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in the 360 days, they would change chips all the time.
Yeah.
Remember like the Jasper.
Yeah, they had all of those, you know. The one that came with the HDMI, you know, they would do these like soft kind of little reboots that no one would ever notice.
It was just always in bundles. Yeah, you didn't. What was the big noticeable one was, remember when they added the 16 gig RAM, when it went from 8 to 16 gig, and that was a big deal. What the fuck? How think this game runs better on that, the black box? It's like, well.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the reason I really wanted to talk about this story is because a lot of people are already jumping the gun saying this is the PS5 Pro. No. It's just a
system refresher.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead. School these motherfuckers, man.
Well, it's just a refresh to get around the shortage, right? We talked about
the
whole semiconductor thing. And I mean, yeah, and Brett, I know you mentioned it too. I don't know the details of this since the news just broke. And they didn't really detail what's involved in this new 6nm process. But it's not a PS5 Pro. It's not a complete redesign of the whole system. It's just they need a new process that can manufacture readily and the supplies available. They cannot keep kind of just having these stalls and then having these small... output of systems. You see what happens every time. It's like, oh, Walmart got a small shipment, Best Buy gets a small shipment. What happens? The fucking stores get dogpiled on. They can't get a consistent supply out, and that's going to keep happening into next year. So they're like, fuck it, they're just going to refresh the system and change the chip so they can get the manufacturing solid and they can get the supply solid, so they put on new systems. If they did a PS5 Pro, you would see a board change. There would be a layout change to the board in the system, so you don't have the Javits Center as a cooling device. They could shrink the whole thing, you know? So that's going to be the Pro, which I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be a PS5, to be honest with you. But if they did that, it would be to get the cooling and everything down so the system is away 1,000 pounds. It's not gigantic. That's going to be your
Pro. People don't even have a PS5. Version. Them to come out with a Pro version was like people still trying to get the other one that just came out.
Yeah, and I think also another factor of using the smaller chip is, you know, heat dissipation and how much, you know, heat comes out of that thing. You know, the way that they're going to transition from a PS5 to a PS5 Pro is by making it smaller. So this is their way to introducing another chip to, you know, putting it in the wild and seeing, okay, so the thermals on this have... you know, aren't as, you know, as high as they used to be, and they're reduced by this much, and we can use this, you know, a mini Jacob Javits Center instead of a full one, and, you know, and they can work with that on a production environment and help the production of the new PS5 Pro. And I think that's a good way to do it. I don't know. Chris mentioned the whole thing about the shortages and using another chip to circumvent that by getting another production line for it. I have no clue. I don't know if they even said that. It could be. That could definitely be one of the things, because, you know, the issues that they're having right now with supply is not only found with PlayStation, it's fucking everywhere. It's cars. It's everywhere. So.
Yeah, there was a news report. This is unrelated to gaming, but it's still, it's related to this, is that Ford has thousands of pickups and sedans sitting in a lot somewhere, I forgot what state it is, because they don't have the chips for the onboard circuitry.
Oh, shit.
The cars are built and they have no circuit boards, so they have to sit out in a lot somewhere waiting for these boards to come in to finish them. That's how bad it is.
That's wild, man. It's affecting everything. Like we talked about last week, it affects everything, not just games, you know?
You see it with the phones, everything.
Yeah. All right, I'll move on. By the way, apologies to you guys in here. I just tossed a story in here now because Tumeka reminded me. We got to talk about some of this Halo Infinite dirt that was leaked, man.
Oh, they getting dirty?
Some crazy shit. And I'm getting this off a Reset Error, right? But there's a video out there, but we don't know Chinese, you know, so. But this is a translated shit. A former 343 employee, he's a skybox artist, shared some insight on Halo Infinite. It says the video's in Mandarin, so I try to translate his words into English. I'm just going to read the bullet points here. So just indulge me for a bit. But we'll give our thoughts on each one. His overall feeling on Halo Infinite, this is what his overall feeling was. In fact, I think the finished product will be great. The story is a big improvement, and the gameplay is much richer, though the development cycle is too long. Don't expect it to be an epoch-making masterpiece. All right, the second point here is the company executives were overly ambitious. They wanted to make Halo Infinite a semi-open world game, so the engine needed to be changed significantly. They had to make the game and develop the engine at the same time. Due to engine defects, many workflows were not ideal, though they are now much more improved than before. Last year's disastrous demo was because many engine features were not fully implemented at the time. Yet they released the fucking demo, you know. For a variety of reasons, the game content compared to the original idea had been cut. Same for multiplayer. This has led to some things I've made over the years that no one will probably ever see. The team at 343, especially the low-level employees, works very hard, and many of them have experience working overtime until early hours in the morning in the past few years. Crunch confirmed. And the last thing here is now talk about the guy. Now he works at Certain Affinity, that's the name of the company, still doing some HI outsourcing work, and he feels good to be out of 343's baggage. Fuck.
Oh, damn.
Damn, man. So what do you guys think about like all this shit? You know?
And this has been kind of confirmed by Schreier, right? I think he talked about it, he tweeted about it, saying that he's going to have a story about this also.
I knew all along. Schreier,
someone said crunch, and he fucking sneezed.
Yeah, he crunch, 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 Captain Crunch. You know what you're talking about. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say what I said on Twitter by the way, so for the month of March, I was a hardcore X-Bot, according to Twitter, right? Huge X-Bot, right? I'm back to being a pony again, man. I'm back to being a pony again because of what I said about Halo. And I've said this on the show before, but I'll say it again, right? I think that Halo as a franchise is irrelevant. I think unless it does a God of War 2018 reboot where you have pretty much an all new setting, you know, and all that, but you still honor the past, no one cares, man. And the thing is, and I'm saying, and the specific thing I said on Twitter that got me lambasted was Halo needs a reboot. And I will stick to that. Halo needs to reboot. Be like, what about Halo Infinite? It's bigger and better. It is like being a bigger Halo is still Halo. It's like, look at that fucking trailer. Like, obviously they're gonna improve it, but it's like, it doesn't show me anything that's like, oh, this is new, this is different. Like, remember when we saw God of War 2018 version? You're like, yo, they're going to this is different now. This is not the old God of War, right? Halo is the same old fucking shit. You know, and we have all these other shooters out there that are just, you know, I don't think Halo, like, it's a shooter of the past. Yeah, it was cool back in the day. It was great for what it did, but it's been irrelevant since 2007, you know, since when Call of Duty Modern Warfare dethroned it. And ironically enough, Call of Duty Modern Warfare or the, you know, Modern Warfare games are still the top of the heap. You know, that's what people like. So unless Halo does a significant reboot where it becomes a modern day shooter, I don't know, man. But the other problem is the fan base. They don't want changes. You know, these guys were pissed off when they added sprinting into the game. When they added, you know, shooting down sights into the game. So you have to overcome the fans as well. So I don't know if they could do it. I think this game will be fine. I don't think the game's going to be bad or anything, but I don't think it's going to be like this guy said. I don't think it's going to be some revolutionary masterpiece, which is a shame because Microsoft needs that, you know. It looks like you're just going to have to get it from Bethesda games because they ain't getting it from 343. Because what is 343 at the end of the day? They're just custodians. They're not there to shake up the franchise. They're just there to keep going, you know, keep the shit going. They're not there to inject anything new in there. So I don't really have faith in this. And Carlos, you can tell me, did 343 do anything good with this with Halo since they took over? Because I don't think they have.
I mean, they've just made standard games. They never, nothing's really bad. Nothing like some games have bad multiplayer aspects. Other games have bad single player aspects, and they kind of switch and reversed. The whole Master Chief Collection was a complete failure, in my opinion, because that burned me. And yeah, no, I agree with Tony. He is a pony.
Giddy up.
No, but seriously, like Tony's right about the whole 343 thing. They were sort of built from the ground up to sort of carry the torch that Bungie, you know, lit up. And they, you know, Bungie, they were fed up with that game and they were like, we need to do other stuff. You know, we need to fucking do a shitty Destiny.
Mm. They just made Halo open world, what Halo Infinite was trying to do.
They pretty much did that. And I mean, does Halo still have a chance? I think so. Is it likely? I think it's more unlikely than it is. You know, it's going through, it's not only, even though it's not an annual game, somehow it has franchise fatigue in a way. Because it just doesn't have the same pop. It's not even close.
It never feels fresh. It never feels new.
It's always the same shit.
Like the same enemies. They need to just switch the whole thing up. We already know Master Chief is RoboCop in space. Bring him back to Earth. Put him in Detroit. Change the setting. and that's it. And we're good. And then bring the soundtrack. Just have it blasting in the background for the next 10 hours. There you go. That's it. That's all you hear. When we do a live chat, it's like, what are you doing? You're going to hear that. 12 hours in. Still
he's
going.
He's facing on the covenant. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
You know? There you go.
Yeah, man.
And if 343 and Xbox follow what the fans are saying, then they're stupid to do so because... Yeah. The Halo franchise had a really strong fan base, and they've been leaking since fucking 2007.
Yeah,
you know, Halo 3 was a great game, but it also went against fucking Call of Duty Modern Warfare when that came out, and that fucking blew the fucking roof off. And they released like Halo Reach and Halo 3 ODST, which were really good games. And after that, it all went downhill, and that's exactly when 343 took over. And I'm not saying that 343 is a bad studio per se. They just don't really they don't really have any new ideas for the franchise. And this whole making it semi-open world, it's just like, what are you gonna do? Make a Destiny game? Like, you know, are you gonna follow Bungie over there again? So, man. I'm disappointed because I used to be a Halo fan, a huge ass fucking Halo fan, and it just I don't hate it or anything, but it sucks that it's lost a lot of people.
Yeah, I still remember because Chris, you were a big Halo fan too. You bought Halo 5, you never even touched it. You'd be like, eh.
Yeah, no, I mean, I talked to Rich about it, and I was like, yeah.
No, yes.
Actually, no. When he heard that, he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
So yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on the whole, all these leaks? It's not a leak; it's just the guy telling his experience there. You know,
I mean, there's always crunch. We talked about that with crunch. It's just part surprised. Of life for everything. No, no surprises there. I don't know why people want to be like, oh, crunch. You know what? I know in some places I worked that people enjoyed crunch because they got if they needed extra money, that was the way to make the extra money.
Yeah.
So if they're like, shit, if I do crunch 4 or 5 months, I bang out my entire car bill right there. I knew people that were like that. They didn't give a shit. Of course, there's people that have families and stuff. They do give a shit. But for those who don't, so, you know, it's one of those things. But it's everywhere. Brunch is everywhere. So there's no point in bringing that shit up again.
I think the biggest thing is whether somebody's being compensated in some way for the amount of hours that they're literally putting in. You know, one thing that a lot of people do not talk about with game developers is what they get for that crunch. I know a lot of these guys are probably salary, but there is usually something else that they get on top of that if they ever do that sort of crunching, you know? Granted, this is probably bonuses and stuff like that? Yeah, like bonuses or like extra vacation time or something like that, that something that offsets that stuff.
I don't think they're just working to
knock themselves out, you know?
Yeah, because if that's the case, everybody would quit once it's done. They're like, all right, yeah, we're done. All right, I'm done too. Peace.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. So there's got to be something in there that's. I mean, granted, if it's a smaller studio, they probably can't offer that, and they're just doing it on their own accord. But I mean, at a bigger studio like at the 343 or whatever like that, I'm sure that they're getting something for all that time that they're putting in.
Yeah,
I mean, and to be honest, game developers get paid fucking good money in general.
Oh yeah.
You know, I fucking crunch. I'm sure I crunch way more than any of those guys do, and I don't get compensated for shit. And I'm freelance. No Jason Schreier's coming over to my house and asking me, well, how much do I crunch? How much did it take? How much time did it take to make that fucking comic book? Or how much of the time did it take to make that animation? Homeboy ain't calling. Homeboy ain't calling. Right.
There you go.
I think 343 seriously needs to work on a new IP or something, because they can't really take risks if they keep making these Halo games.
Yeah,
because every little change gets subject to a lot of criticism by the fan base, by people who don't even play the games. So whenever they make, you know, something like a hard left turn and do something else, they get criticized. But if they did a brand new IP, they could take all those risks and see what works and see what doesn't work, and implement that into the new Halo games.
I thought that was the whole point of doing all those side pieces, like Halo Reach, Halo ODST, because those were
Bungie games. Those were Bungie games.
I know, but all that stuff is owned by Microsoft. So if those were a hit, it's like, all right, we're going to go down that ODST route. Let's just keep making those. Because that sold well. People seem to like that one. That's what I thought they were for. That there was a testing ground. That's why they didn't have the number behind, you know, after Halo. They were just, you know, ODST or whatever. So why not go down that road? I don't understand why they have to.
Again, these guys were just
old formula.
Yeah, no, they're just there to keep the franchise going. They're not there to innovate. And that's a problem, you know. These guys have not innovated at all, you know. And I'm telling you right now, I think Halo Infinite is going to be a good game, but I don't think it's going to be the big smash that Microsoft expects. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But
okay, you keep saying that. You got to put that shit in perspective, though. Like, Halo is one of the biggest game franchises of all time. People are waiting for, you know, they're fucking frothing at the mouth of this shit. I think it's a Valve situation, right? Like, it very well may be a great game. I don't fucking know. But even if it's a great game, it's not a fucking world-ending epoch kind of thing. Like, it's I think it's just one of those, you know, check your expectations. I don't think it's going to be a washed out, boring, soulless game. I think that it hit some hiccups in development, but that could go one of two ways. It could either keep happening or it could be addressed. So sometimes these things, you know, being the tall poppy is helpful. It could come back where is it okay, fine, take the time you need. People got to put a little bit of love into it and it comes out pretty good. But I think we could all sit here and say, this isn't going to be the first Halo. It's not going to be Halo 1.
No. Or 3.
Well, the Microsoft fans don't necessarily want change in their Halo. You said it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, while you're sitting there saying, wow, the game might not be great, this game isn't really made for you. It's made for the people who are asking for this very specific thing.
I never said it was not going to be great. I said, I don't think it's going to be this big world-ending event type of game, you know?
I mean, how many games are?
No, they're not. But the reason I'm saying this is because Microsoft needs that. And I don't think this game's going to do that for the platform, you know?
I don't feel like it's going to be like, what was that last game that they put out, the open world one? I'm blanking on it.
Sea of Thieves?
No, not Sea of Thieves. The one with the where you get the superpowers.
Sunset Overdrive.
No, you don't get superpowers in Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, you do.
The one, that's the one, the open world game with the shooting and
Crackdown. Crackdown.
Okay, sorry about that. Totally blanking on that. So I think to be honest, it's going to be a Crackdown situation. I don't think the game is going to be as horrible as Crackdown, but I do think that the game is going to get more attention because of the fact it is that known franchise, but it's going to be in a position where it cannot stand up to the expectations of what it's supposed going to be.
Yeah, well, do you think that's because it's going to be a bad game, or do you think it's because it has gigantic, almost unrealistic expectations? Because I agree with you. I just think it's the latter of those two. Like, everybody's looking for this game to support the Xbox all by its lonesome. I'm like, I don't know any Halo sequel that's going to be good enough for that shit.
I mean, to be honest, I would have said this years ago when Bungie was.
Yo, chill with the breathing, please. Shit, that's a little harsh right there.
When Bungie was actually doing those games, yeah, they could launch that shit and it would just do gangbusters. But at this point in time, like, I don't even think, you know, like, what's going to be out to sort of a support Halo? You know what I mean? That's the biggest issue that happened with Sunset Overdrive and Crackdown. There was nothing around it to essentially share the spotlight. So it's not just one that's just standing in the spotlight. There's a few that's there.
Yeah, and I think that's gonna be this one, to be honest. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna. It can't live up to the hype.
I agree.
I mean, the God of War was. That was a Hail Mary that worked. Like, that was a big change and a big risk, you know, unless you played Resident Evil 4. So, you know, they wanted to take it in a new direction. They did a good job. But keep in mind, this isn't Bungie either. And I know we've already said this, but, like, this isn't Bungie. Like, even if they did a fantastic freaking job, they're not going to do as well as Bungie did.
they're going to do the best of their abilities, but not the best of Bungie's abilities. Yeah, no, it's a good point to make, you know, because that's something a lot of people don't understand. Like, developers are not all made the same. Some are better than others, you know?
Now, that being said, not to argue against myself, but apparently Returnal is a must-have game for the PS4, so the bar is pretty fucking low.
Yeah, well, yeah.
PS5. So apparently the bar is pretty fucking low, and just about anything that you put out that's playable, people will rave about.
Damn.
Well, dude, I mean, you know it's fucking true.
You're like, one of the five for you see to the face.
Slap. I love it. I love the hate, man. Go ahead.
God of War wasn't a big hit as everyone thinks, because, you know, Brian didn't like it. Oh. What's it called?
It's not his God of War anymore.
I don't love it. As far as Halo, Brett, I got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
You said, how can it ever live up to the expectations? And I'll bring up two examples, Halo 2 and Halo 3. The expectations back then was way higher than it is right now. The franchise is diminished. Not as many people are looking forward to the next iteration game as there is now. So the hype is way low. Like, relatively before, there were events, people lining up in the streets to get the game, get the helmet, get, you know, it was on TV. It was, you know, it was everywhere. Midnight releases and stuff.
It was on Mountain Dew.
It was on Mountain Dew, you know, probably on Doritos too. So I think the issue is that the expectations are low because no one really expects as much as it used to from the franchise. And, you know, and that's naturally, that's what happens when, you know, you go from the studio that makes the original, you know, franchise, and they downgrade to the B team to make the franchise. You know, you know this. You hate Attack on Titan now when they went to the B team.
Oh, I'm not gonna argue with any of that.
So I don't know how they could possibly even if the expectations are super low, that team was never made for it. You know,
it's
just
amazing that they've had the control over this IP this long. I'm still amazed because I know they've
Microsoft should have given it to somebody else, man.
They've thrown so many other teams in it, and it's just never worked out.
By the way, you know how there, you know how there is little Halo fan, as relatively fan base as there was.
Yeah.
Not, you know, people are going to remember the Cyberpunk issue forever, but no one is going to remember the Master Chief Collection issue. Like, it's like, that was worse. I went through both of them. You couldn't fucking get a match in that game. It so it's like,
that's true, yeah.
It worked for months.
Yeah.
So,
you know who was not going to forget that?
Me?
Throwdown. We documented the fuck out of that, man.
And I took a fucking week off, man, just to fucking play that.
Other Zinc was not happy with us, man. Other Zinc was not happy with us.
You'll take it off again when it comes out on Twitch.
You know, Damien wasn't happy about it with us either when we were reporting all that shit back in the day. That's how long this fucking podcast has been on, man. 9 years this August. Crazy, right?
It's funny because we were talking about. I was talking a little bit about the Nier. We're around long enough to where we could talk about the main protagonist being switched for the release of Nier in the United States. That big muscly guy.
Yeah, shit is crazy. All right, man. Let's move on. Next story. You know, also about Xbox. So this one kind of interesting. Here's the thing. The headline is not misleading, but people are putting something on there that, you know. If they knew the industry, this wouldn't surprise them. But Xbox consoles have never turned a profit, right? So people are taking this to mean like, oh, Xbox sucks. That's why nobody's making them. Most consoles actually don't make a profit.
Yeah, it's the Sony has been lucky with the last few generations where they've actually made, with the exception of the 5, but the 4 and the 3 had actually broken even and made a profit. But it took a while for that to happen.
Except for the 4. 4 was 1 year. 1 year afterwards, it was already making a profit. Yeah. But the 3 took like a long time.
Yeah, 3 was toward the end.
Yeah. By the way, Nintendo's the one of the exceptions. They do make a profit off the consoles,
they
I believe.
They always make a profit because they make their consoles with 10-year-old technology.
Right. You know?
It's old, cheap.
So this isn't really... like a condemnation of Xbox. Like, no, most consoles don't make a profit. It's games that always make the profit.
That's it. It's all about the games. All about
one, the games. The one disappointing part of a lot of this is because it was them wanting to rush their technology to the board, which the Xbox 360, which was did very well for them. But at the same time, how many of those Xboxes did they have to essentially replace?
A lot of them.
Literally bleeding money because they literally rushed their console out.
Carlos bought like 5 Xbox 360s, man. Shit is crazy.
I think we bought a baker's dozen between us.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you know what? Let's go down the line. Adam, how many Xbox 360 did you buy?
1, 2, 3, 4. 4 of them? 4. But the thing is, I've only had one die, though. Because all the other ones that were zapped. And one did, one wasn't zapped yet, but because of the mods, but only one died on me.
Yeah, what about you, Carlos?
I think I only got 2.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
Yeah, one, the original, so I got my day one died, but it took years for it to die. It lasted a while, but it did ring Red Ring of Death, though.
Yeah.
But there was a little toaster that could until it couldn't, but, but yeah, 2.
Cool. All right, Brett, how many did you go through?
I think Brett is either him or Chris had the most. No,
yeah, I believe so.
I had my no, it wasn't me. Definitely wasn't me.
Okay, how many did you go through?
I went through 2.5. Like I got mine. It was broken. I sent it back in. It came out. Yeah, I got mine. I sent it in. I got it repaired. I got it back. It broke down. I bought another Xbox. It died too.
Damn.
So I had it refurbished and then replaced, and then it still died. So I technically went through 2 and a repair.
Right, Chris, how many did you go through?
Well, I fixed my second one twice. My first one died. I had the Halo 3 edition,
which I currently have.
Yes, and that's the one I reflowed twice, and I gave it to Manny, and I think the drive died on it or something.
Yeah, the disc tray doesn't work inside if it's a purely digital model now.
Yeah, and then I bought the third one, which was the second to last refresh, you know. But yeah, so I had 3.
Yeah, Brian, you never went to Xbox 360, did you?
Nope.
No, you never did. Manny, I think you got a hand-me-down.
I got a hand-me-down. It's funny. Me and Chris almost switched Xboxes because I gave because he has the one that Adam modded for me years ago. So he's got that one. And then
is that one still working?
I mean, that's the best way. I mean, it was working last time I had it, but I'm sure it's still working. Right, Chris?
Yeah, it should be. I tested it when I got here. But...
You turned it on, and as soon as it starts up, it plays Children of Bodom.
There we go.
Just from the chat here, Dumeka says he had four Xbox 360s. And Stage 33... Stage, I'm just going to call you Stage. He also had four of them. So I think
was that because they died or they were just buying because of the new models, whether it's the small version or I'm just curious to find out if it was because they died.
Yeah, he says the towel trick worked on him. So it seems like it was, you know, and I've always said this. I kind of believe it too. It's like one of the reasons the Xbox 360 sold so well is because people bought them so many times because they kept fucking dying, you know.
Possible, man.
It's possible.
I'm telling you because it was the Chivos, man. People got that. And when that shit died on you, you had to go get another. You weren't going to start over on a PS3 or anything. They didn't even have trophies.
Yeah, they didn't. So it's like, yeah.
It was like, yeah, if you wanted to keep getting your Chivo count up, and back then everybody, at least that I know, that I had that, all just battling, trying to get and showing off and taking screenshots and stuff. It's like, oh, I got the. So it was addictive for a while.
That shit is crazy. So in a way, there's like nothing to see here type of story. It's like, yeah, no consoles make a profit, bro. You know? All right. And the final new story of the night, let's talk about Stadia right now.
I want to throw one in.
Oh, go ahead, Brett. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I thought this was kind of funny. I think, Tony, you saw it. Apparently the console war is over. There has been a victor has been claimed, and it is Sony. Microsoft actually, to say, they threw in the towel and praised Naughty Dog for their performance. And I want to know if you guys have heard about this and what your thoughts are.
Companies do this all the time.
I'm aware.
Yeah. Yeah, Microsoft, whenever Sony comes out with a new game, Microsoft praises them. Whenever Microsoft comes out with a new game, Sony praises them. So it's standard stuff.
Well, I thought it was interesting because it was an internal memo about The Last of Us 2, which is not even a current gen console. So I don't even understand how it fucking affects this. But it was talking about Microsoft's breakdown of Naughty Dog 2 and how they were pushing the bar of, you know, visuals and how basically nobody can stand up to that and how they do it by simplifying gameplay and taking choice away from the player and having it so that, you know, it's not so much even if the player is having fun as much as if they're delivering a cinematic experience, which I thought screamed The Last of Us 2. And instantly the entire internet caught fire. They're like, yep, see, this is why PlayStation is superior.
So fucking fanboys, man.
I thought it was hilarious how they ignored 90% of it, because it was basically like we've always talked about, how you can, you know, cut down to highly cinematic-driven experiences, but that also takes choice away from the player, so you kind of face this conundrum. So I thought it was funny they addressed that, and just everybody on the internet absolutely went fucking bonkers about it. I don't know if it exploded your Twitter, Tony, but it did mine.
No, I never saw that, but it's just like a dumbass fanboys. These companies, here's the thing, fanboys think that the Twitter beef that they engage with each other, executives do. No, they don't. They all hang out with each other. They'll go to fucking lunch and shit. They'll go golfing. All these guys are friends, right? So that shit does not exist within these guys. Oh, the 360, there it is. You know, Carlos is 360, but so yeah, it's all a big to do about nothing. But I will say this though, it is true. Because the companies do give each other praise when games come out, but Microsoft does it more to Sony than Sony does it to Microsoft. That is a fact.
They do.
Well, I think the thing is, it wasn't necessarily a praise; it was an internal document. So yeah. It wasn't even them like.
But it makes sense. So if you talk to these guys behind the scenes, they praise each other. They're like, oh man, what are they doing? This shit is crazy. We need to do something like that, you know?
Except for Nintendo.
Except for Nintendo, you know. Go ahead, Brett.
It's absolutely crazy that they would, I don't know, test their competitor's product and note where it does well and not well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they're not brand loyal. They're just looking at features and trying to put their best foot forward. That's just, it's a crazy concept.
Yeah, Nintendo.
Chris, you told me, right, that Nintendo didn't do that. They were only ones. They refused to touch any of their
Listen, partner. I got reprimanded in a meeting for mentioning what Xbox Live was doing one time. So, yeah, they do not do competitive research.
What does that tell you about Nintendo, you know? All right, moving on. Last story of the night.
What up, Reggie?
We talked about this before. Actually, I mean, we documented the whole thing. When it comes to Google Stadia, and I'm glad we do this podcast because it's all documented. As soon as we saw Phil Harrison was involved, we're like, this shit's done. It's over. So obviously, it's continued to crumble. Now, six executives, not just developers, six executives have left Stadia and they're joining Jade Raymond's studio. The further deterioration, man. And the thing I continue to love is the Stadia stance. You know, these guys, every time I say anything about Stadia, they're at me. Stadia's the greatest thing ever. Blah, 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 blah. Like, bro, this is a sinking. This is the Titanic. And it's not even a Titanic that just hit the iceberg. This motherfucker's already, it's already broken half. You know, Jack is already on the board, bro. Like, he's already fucked. Like, he's in the ocean, you know? That's it. Like, Rose, man, she's like, Jack, try to get on this. By the way, why couldn't they both get on that shit? Like,
he tried to get on and it would just slide down. It
or what about the other debris? There was like other debris. But anyway.
But you know what? He couldn't do it because it was a big whale. Remember the whale? Yeah, the whale.
Well, I think Rose is Jade Raymond. She already moved on. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Pried his cold dead fingers off the board, man. No sadness. No regret.
Hey, she only knew him for a few days. She'll forget. That's it,
man. Go back to Billy Zane, you know? Hey, bro. But yeah, that Stadia is done, son. That's it. This is what I think is going to happen. I think Stadia or Google, in this case, they're going to just sell the technology off to somebody else and just call it a day. There's nothing, no reason to own this shit, you know? It's absolutely terrible, you know?
Don't you wear an environment where there's so many people that, there's so many other entities that do it a lot better than they do.
Yeah. I remember I did an article for a laptop bag listing the best game streaming services, and all these Stadia guys came to me. Why didn't you list Stadia? I'm like, because it's the best game streaming services, you dumbasses. You know?
How dare you?
I didn't say the dumbasses part, but I was like, because I'm listing the best. And they're like, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it sucks, bro. That's what I'm trying to say.
Just because you bought it makes it fucking good? No, you can buy a piece of shit.
Yeah.
The collector's item.
It's
what's a collector's item, though, on the state of the controller?
Just because that's about it.
It is. Yeah, the controller is. That's it will be.
You get anything else special with it?
The fucking Stadia controller is going to become like the Ouya, you know?
Oh,
I still got my Ouya. I love that. Don't work, but I like the way it looks.
It don't work.
The network. They shut the network down, so it's just like.
Oh man,
it's a nice brick.
Yeah, it was fun. It's like we turned it on. They would go, ooh, yum. That was it.
Crazy.
And wasn't that a Kickstarter thing? That was like a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter thing, but I hated the controller. So I used my PS3 controller on it. Nope, not the 4, it was the PS3 because you had to plug it in still. So I remember having
trash. All right. That's pretty much it, people. So do we need to plug anything? Man, you got anything?
You know, the usual things. Excellence is still out there, you know, still working on stuff. And we got the Kickstarter, which if you did it, thank you very much. That's coming up soon. We're going to be going to print really, really soon on that one. So there you go. Free update for you guys. And then, there's a bunch of DC stuff that's going to be coming soon. So stay tuned for that.
Good stuff. Adam, what you got?
Tomorrow we got another episode of I Am Negan, and it's myself and Richard Bailey Jr.
Oh yes,
and we're gonna be season 6 episode 12. So it's theming along, and it's good. It's really fun. It's fun to watch. I enjoy this show. This is one of the few spinoffs that I actually. Some spinoffs are just garbage, but so go check that out. I Am Negan on Spotify, over at the Coalition or YouTube. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. That's going to do it for us, people. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, and join our Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, and you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you're watching us on YouTube now and you enjoyed this episode, please hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Links to everything down below in the description. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Thanks for getting Tony Hawk on the Switch next month. Yeah.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Manjoma.
It's always funny when people realize that a shitty person is a shitty person.
After they've been told
that said person is a shitty person.
You know, you can talk bad about me all you want, but just don't do it on air.
I talked
about this before this show, and he always brings it up.
All right, people, we'll see you on Sunday. Peace out.
You are something else, Brian.
Oh, God.